today, I wanted to talk about one topic that I've called it Secret of Reality. You know that in the world, it's not possible to move in any sort of area until you know the reality of that area. For instance, you will never be able to fix a broken car until you figure out a real problem. What is wrong with it? I mean, you'll be running, jumping, changing tires, changing this and that. Go under the hood. You'll spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and you might not even find a problem. Why? Because before you get under the hood and start to dig in there, you need to know the real problem. That is why there's this method of diagnostics. When you connect a computer, and the computer truthfully tells you what is wrong with a car. Amen. We are people that are moving in this life, especially the church, especially the church. You know why the church is so ineffective in the world? Have you asked yourself this question? I'm being truthful. The world is in the hands of the world. Even though all the holy people have to, you know, control the world, why was the church put here on this world to be something radical? It's the Word of God. Word of God. Word of God has to be spread out to the ends of the earth. Somebody has to do it. You know, I'm looking at the times of apostles. We don't need to go far. We understand that Jesus, a person that we look upon and we follow, he's the peak of humanity, and this is what we're trying to be. But do you know, disciples, we're disciples also. You know, when the disciples were living, apostles of Christ, they were walking on this earth. Do you know that where they would appear, the mouths would shut, even of the biggest people. As soon as they start talking, nothing could be done to them. They wanted to catch him and do something to them, but God supernaturally would move in their lives, and we see how the church of that time, what level it was on. What level it was on back then. It had authority, but it was only the beginning. This was only the beginning of Christianity. Basically, the baby was born, and it already started to move in glory and authority. I always ask this question. I ask this question of everyone. I ask it of myself, God, people around me, ministers around me. Why the church is so ineffective on this earth? Why do we see just... You can't even call it something major. It's just small percentages. Something that's not stable. Something that's barely making it. Something that's just barely feeding itself, not even talking about going and winning the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? To win this world, it means inside of you there has to be something that wins the world, conquers the world. How can you conquer the world over there if you have not conquered it inside? Do you understand me? And we're walking in a circle, and it's not effective. Our personal life is not effective, and the church rebounds from that. And the church of God is us as individuals. Tell me, how strong are you? And I'll tell you how strong the church is. You understand that we are so tired of seeing just certain people, and you'll see how 100% is being pulled by 1%. 100% workload is being carried by 1% of people. And that is how also 100% of people can only carry 1% of work. And you watch this disbalance, and you see some of the anointed people that God has to raise them up so high only for one reason, because the body is without work and they cannot do anything. Only one member has to do majority of all the work. And we can even see anointed people barely making it towards the end of their lives because they get tired, because they don't get to the banks. They're not swimming far enough because they get exhausted. And the problem of everything is, in everything, it's our problem, our uselessness, because we don't work, because we don't move. And it's only because of one reason, because we don't know the reality. You know that everybody has their own reality. You know that to see the full picture, you need to sometimes leave your box, get out of the box. You know that what we made Christianity into, it's fuzzy, pretty, sinless, organization that only accepts the same fuzzy, sinless people. You either want it or not. Seriously, you know, right now it's impossible to get to some sort of anointed person if you're a sinner. I'm not talking about a brother that sinned in church. I'm talking about a prostitute, obviously dressed as a prostitute, smelling like cigarette smoke, that goes into the house of the Lord. And this picture, practically in our head, we can't even see that picture. Clean deacon or pastor, smells like cologne, taking shower twice a day, and all of a sudden some sort of woman is coming in. Okay, she starts hugging his legs and thank him. You understand that these pictures, for some reason, they're not painted in our heads in our time. Why? Because the church divided itself from where it's supposed to live in and move in. You know why we became weak? Because we stopped doing warfare on the battlefield. But if there is no battle, why do you need a sword? It's quite heavy to carry it around for no reason. Why do I need my shield, my breastplate, the helmet? Why? It's heavy in our times. Why? Because I don't need a helmet. I don't need the shoes and the shin protectors. I don't need my shield. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just existing on this earth. And you know, where's the secret of reality? We cannot fix effectively this world by not knowing the real problem. You know this? Why the churches do whatever they can, but not fixing the problem. The church will do show business. You know what I'm saying. The church opens clubs, dance parties, sort of evenings, and comedy nights, and so on. Just at least get some sort of poor sheep that has been lost in the world. And just by taking it, the sheep is sitting there and watching, and she understands that this person is going to go to a concert of Pink Floyd or AC/DC or something like that. And it's going to be quite a show that all the churches put together with their money cannot even make a show like that. You understand me? We have to understand one thing. We have something that nobody else has in this world. It's only the church has it. This one thing we need to operate in. It's the anointing, and it is the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing else. You cannot have. You don't need to imagine things and come up with things. You know, sometimes it's so hard for the church because they're moving the church themselves. But the Holy Spirit has to move the church. He has to say what is the next step. He has to say where we're going to be next year. He has to move every one of us. The secret of reality. Where is reality in? Where is the reality of this world in? You know, when Christianity has been reduced to something, you know, that's not what it used to be. Only the first generation would know what is the world, what is the sick and the homeless, alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes. You know, we stepped over, and a lot of you, by sitting here, you're the third, fourth, fifth generation of Christians. What does that say? It says that you did not smell the world. I'm not talking about that you have to just take off right now and go smell the world. That will be a problem. And then we're going to have to get you from that world. I'm talking about, my dear ones, to effectively change or fix some sort of problem. You know, you need to know the real reality of the whole picture. Otherwise, there's no reason to move, no purpose doing certain things, because everything you will do, everything that the church does right now, is just a little spray for a short time. It does not move for long. It ends pretty fast because it gets tiring. And you know, first name of Jesus, of Christ, we know it's God that gave his son, and he was first born from his father, and they were one whole. And when he was on this earth, he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Notice this one thing. Not friend to somebody who was a tax collector and a past sinner. But for those that are right now sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, that reality of the first apostolic church of Jesus Christ that he gave birth to, we are not effective by one purpose, by one reason only, because we don't understand what is the church. Everything that we see, and I believe we will all change this in the name of Jesus Christ. All the holy people, I'll ask them to rupture right now, to go to heaven and not be in the way, because this world is in need of somebody who will not, you know, get shocked at somebody who's doing drugs, because this world needs somebody that is he can go into the world and just talk to those people, not just by talking to them, but they called him who? Friend? What are you talking about? I'm not speaking fairy tales here. And I'll read one scripture. In the Bible, I found a lot of scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus constantly, not sometimes, always lived with these people. And we all know this. Then who are we? Ask God this question. Who are we? You know that a friend of tax collector and the sinner, it wasn't just the name of Jesus Christ. It was his strategy. Do you believe in that when God is doing something, he's doing something very well? So we have to stop imagining and creating new methods of resuscitating the church and go back to the very beginning. When was the last time in your house was there an alcoholic person? Was he ever in your house? When were you in the house of alcoholic person? And the interesting thing is that I'm loved more. I know it's a fact. I'm loved more by sinners, prostitutes, and drug addicts. They love me more than the pastors of the churches. Why? Because, first of all, I know the reality. And you know, what's important is not just reality, but to speak their language. This is why my speech, my sermons, do not fit into a lot of people's heads, just by one reason. Because I know who I am. I know what they need. We are trying to entertain ourselves. Oh, okay, we got bored. What sort of guests are we gonna invite again? Church. Let's invite him. He hasn't been here. Let's not invite this guy. He's boring. Let's invite another one. Let's, for the whole week, we'll make a conference so you'll just get full of sermons. So you won't ask any dumb questions. What is this? Not enough food for you. And we're just like these obese Christianity sitting. We have, in the spiritual sense, I'm talking, our tables are falling from black caviar, from kielbasas. We've just stuffed ourselves with everything. We don't even like this kielbasa anymore. I've had it before. This drink I don't like. I don't like this. And we've just overate. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying with my own words. You can call it whatever you want, but that's how I call it. And the church just overate. And right now, just give us wine and just entertainment. Food, bread, and just entertainment. Just like in the times of the kings. Everything that we need is to eat and have entertainment. And everything, you know, that's what the church is doing right now, just to eat and to entertain. Again, you became bored. Okay, we need to eat and have entertainment. And so we eat and entertain ourselves. In the meantime, the world stopped even knocking on the doors of the church, because they've done that recently. And the church said, you smell bad and you look bad. You can't come into our club. It's membership only. Amen.
do you have a card? No? Then we ask forgiveness. Sorry. What is that? Church wants to change the world by being afraid of the world. Church wants to do something, and we are praying for revival. You know what is the funny thing is? We have even the right to ask for revival. Shut up. Lord, revive. Go and revive. You hear me? Oh, I cannot. Okay. There is someone in the world that can't do it twice as much. He cannot do it as you. So together, you'll figure it out. My dear ones, all of you, you have something to give to this world. Everyone, all of you that sit in this world. There's somebody who's worse than you. Help him. Amen? Oh, it's hard for me. There's somebody out there that's in a worse situation than you. Everybody says, oh, you have mistakes. Of course, 100%. But somebody has more mistakes than me. I cannot help somebody who doesn't have any mistakes because I have mistakes. But I can help someone who has twice as many mistakes as me. The principle of the church is to become totally holy, polished, see-through, clear. And all our lives, we're walking towards holiness. Have you heard this prayer of holiness? It's the prayer of polishing. Pastor, putting oil on, polishing. You're shiny now. You need to go over there. So you'll get smelly from the smoke of cigarettes sometimes. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that you have to be there where your help is needed. Church. Funny organization that has been lost. We have to rename ourselves by interests. Club that likes classical songs, classical style of dressing, and classic behavior. You understand what I'm saying? And then there's a modern club comes out. Nothing has changed. We just look cool. Amen. The world, was in the world, and they're still in the world. But now we are with cool hairstyles, with cool guitars, praising our Lord. Oh, oops, something just came out. And these guys are cool. They look modern. They are of the same world, same smell from them. And the interesting thing is that all of these useless modern or classical people, we'll call them like that, we'll just rename it all classical. He's not religious, he's classical. He likes classical stuff. Classical jacket. Okay. We're not going to go too far. Somebody's going to be in pain. You know, the interesting thing is that they, modern and classical people, they can't even be friends between themselves. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. 30 years we're proving who's right and who's wrong. And the world is looking at us and say, have you decided? And they're like, don't be in the way. Get out of here. Hundreds are dying from needles and just die. Thousands of people just die around us. I'm not talking about you going somewhere. I'm talking about here around us. And we trying to figure out our realities, everybody's reality, and we have enough nerve to come to prayer and ask for revival. If you would have drawn me your revival, I would have loved to hear your format of revival. What do you see? The world in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Who's going to set it on fire? You? Well, no, not how? I'm not called for that. Who is called for that? Me? I am the same as you. Recently, just climbed from under the bridge. What? I just read the Bible. Did you read the Bible? Do you know what is written in there? That those that believe will be followed with signs and wonders. The believers will be followed. Will be. If you're not followed by signs and wonders, then you're not a believer. Let's read one scripture. Some people don't understand you and me for one reason only, because they don't see what we see. You understand? My sermons are based upon what I constantly out the encounters, from after encounters, by talking to people, through certain things I meet people that pour out their hearts to me. If it was just one or twice, it's thousands and thousands of people. There's been thousands of people, and I know the reality, not just of that world that's out there, but the church that is here. Look at this. Matthew 9, 10 and 13. The secret of reality. Matthew 9, 10. And it happened that as he was reclining at table in the house, he just decided to come to somebody's house to take a rest. Behold, many. You know that it says many. Not just the one tax gatherer or tax collector just showed up, and one prostitute. It was a lot of people. Listen. Many. Many. It means it's a crowd. It's not written that a brother arrived, anointed brother, and a lot of Christians just came to him. Pray for me. You haven't polished us yet. The guy polished us. That one dropped me to the ground. That one anointed me. We were on the ground. You should have seen us, how we were on the ground. Can you do that too? You know? If you're not planning on moving by the format that the Christ and his disciples were moving, we will take our whole life to entertain ourselves, and that will never be enough. And when he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came. They came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. So they came and just said, "Hey, Jesus." And there was a lot of smelly sinners and homeless people. They were all just reclining. There was a lot of people, many. It doesn't say how many. We had one sinner and one tax gatherer. It says it was a whole conference over there. Everybody was reclining. Jesus was reclining at the table. And around him, there was an interesting gathering. Interesting. How's that? Jesus, tell us. Can you just do a conference here and tell us how is it that they loved you? I think, first of all, he started to love them, because when we read Pharisees and all this other polished denominations around him, there was nobody that was reclining. You couldn't even stand next to him if you were a sinner. Not even close. Don't touch me. And they were reclining and with his disciples. Why? Because disciples were with the same story. Nobody from disciples said, "Jesus, what is this?" It was their crowd. So Peter was reclining with them yesterday. And then he came to Jesus. Jesus took him into his team. And now they're all together reclining. And I'm not talking about something dirty here. I'm talking about that these people loved each other. They were together. Have you ever seen something like this before in our time? I've seen it a couple of times. When I saw people that wanted to save drug addicts, and they didn't say. They put some sort of house and said, "All the drug addicts are welcome." If that was done, that's great. But you know what they did? They went where they're dying. The drug addicts are dying, where their bodies are just, you know, decomposing, and they started dragging them out. And when you were watching this movie, you would see what is the real church. The real church, it is ear deep
in the dirt that they're pulling from. I'm not talking about the sin here. Why do I always say, and people never understand me, because they think that if I go to some sort of dance club or into a bar or some sort of place, all of a sudden I have to sit with them at the table and drink for their health. My dear ones, I believe into Christianity that when you will appear in these places, the music will stop. I believe that this church will arise. I believe that someone from us will ask God for strength and go there where Jesus was living, not just walking. He was living there. Secret of reality. What are they going to think about me? How am I going to go over there? How is that me? I'm going to go Friday at 2 o'clock a.m. downtown to a dance club? Yes. Just to see reality. Because by not seeing reality, you can't even pray. You know, the church cannot pray, not fast, not preach, nothing. We can eat professionally and burp professionally. Bring more. I don't like this anymore. By one reason. Because practically all of us, we have not been there. I know what I'm saying. I was there. I know for sure what I'm speaking about. I know that you don't need help. If you would have seen who needs help, you with your problems, you'd forget your problems. Church, are you here? Or again, there's fuzzy congregation here that again is not understanding me. What are you saying? Come here, I'll tell you when to go into First Avenue in Seattle. I'll show you places where you can go in and you'll see reality of our generation, Russians, guys and girls. I believe that the church will become strong to at least talk with the world, not hide. The picture of reality, how we don't want to talk about it. These sermons are not very popular. What are you again picking on us? Picking and picking, picking. I don't feel so good. I just want to pick on you. You give us a sermon. What, you want to be entertained again? Amen, Pastor. The world is dying. And you don't even know what that is. Because you're fuzzy. And joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, this is what I'm being told. Why does your teacher eat with the tax gatherers and sinners? Why? What did he forget over there? He has to be with us. We'll give him a place in the podium. He'll drive the same cars as me. He'll have special treatment. What did he forget over there through these sinners and like these lazy people? Sinners. Let him be with us. He's a nice guy. Well, until he steps on their blister. Why does your teacher eat with the tax gatherers and sinners? And disciples, they didn't say anything. They were just like, what? What? Jesus answered. But when he heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are ill. You hear me? Ill. They have a need and a physician. Physician is where there are sick people. Church, it's doctors, it's physicians, it's hospital, call it whatever, like that. Secret of reality. How we don't want to see this reality. How we don't want to get our hands dirty. It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus explained himself very clearly, very clearly. You know, we have to understand the reality of this world, and I'm just throwing you a challenge right now. If you want to see what happens in this world, at least once, at one time, I know that practically none of you, you have not been in those places, what I'm going to talk about here. Have you ever been in the house of the elderly or where they live? Where they can only guess who's in there when from their apartment starts to smell like a dead man. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah, he's not with us anymore. Were you ever there in the house where there's orphans that nobody needs them? Have you ever been into a regular bar where there's drunk people? Where those that they need your help? Have you ever been on a dance party, Russian dance party? I'm not talking about American clean with security guards. I'm talking about Russian dance parties. Have you ever been in these places? Why are you saying this for? This is where my sermon is in. You don't know what I'm speaking here. You're too clean. You know, I just throw you this call this week or this month. Just go visit at least one of these places. Just go there. How's that? Just like that. Get enough bravery and go there where Jesus was living in. Church cannot go. What if somebody sees me? What are they going to say? Well, they'll tell you that you're a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I'm serious. I'm saying such things that in the days of apostles of Christ, they were looking at these Pharisees in their beautiful gowns. What are you even talking about? Where we're supposed to be? We're there where we have to live. Secret of reality. How can I pray about revival if I don't even know what to pray about? Have you ever been in some sort of satanic gathering? Oh, I don't go into places like that. Go. At least show up there one time, some sort of satanic mass. Just see how they sacrifice. You could go to their website. It's not a problem. You just type whatever, and witches and the Google will tell you where to go. And just go and see. At midnight, you see how they do sacrifices. What are you saying? I'm saying that nobody has not bravery to say this, and I say it. How come it does not fit into your mind? Because the church totally is not even the church right now. What if something, Satan will do something to me? Again, that's going to confirm again that you're not a Christian. Just go to heaven right now. Rapture. What if? What if revival has to start? Amen? You know why it's hard for me? Because I cannot do everything myself. You understand me? If I could, I would have been everywhere. But I cannot. I need to raise a team that will go and do this. I know what this is. I understand that. Not everyone will come. But if we just start and just one nightclub, somebody will just start to pray. Or we're sitting there. We need youth ministry. We need a conference. The pastor is not entertaining us for a while. What, should I drive a bicycle? One-wheel bicycle for you? What do you need? What do you need? Some sort of trick? Wow. My goal is to make you a warrior of Christ. Amen? If it's quite hard, my teaching is hard for you, then your place is with the fuzzy ones. You just sit there and just brush each other. seriously, I just say such funny things myself. You just make yourselves even more fuzzier. Brush. You want a helpless generation? Have you seen it? You want to fix this car? Have you do diagnostics? I mean, have you done diagnostics on it? And the church? We're always praying, Lord, what revelation, what revelation? I know we need to change the singers. There's no anointing because of them. We need to move the drummers and the guitar players. They are the cap that prevents the glory of God. I'll tell you one reason why the glory of God is not moving. Because in this building, for instance, there was unbelievers were not here for a while. The people that need Jesus and they need anointing. You know that healing and deliverance, it's medicine. You don't need it always. Well, worship is over. Now we have deliverance, and now the pastor is preaching. It doesn't happen like that. It's medicine that somebody needs a certain time, maybe once or twice. You know that the church is hooked on medicine. I'm explaining. The church always wants to see signs and wonders. You know what is signs and wonders for? It's medicine that heals this world. And the signs and wonders only happen where the ill people, they need the medicine. And we are just like drug addicts, spiritual drug addicts. We need signs and wonders. Somebody has to get healed from cancer. We're all healed. Let's find more cancer patients over there and get them healed over there. You understand me? Church is hooked on drugs, on medicine. Constantly needs to smell something, see things, hear things. But it only happens when somebody needs it. When everybody has received it, we have to bring those that need this. However, maybe home groups to church, encounters with God, whatever. We need to see this. We are the church. You know? You remember Nehemiah? I love this guy. He was a young guy. He lived in his king's palace. He was next to the king. He gave him food, water, until he met the reality of his nation. Nehemiah, he was this guy that built the walls of Jerusalem. He was that personality that saw something that did not give him peace or live peacefully. My dear ones, I'm telling you seriously, if you want everything to change in your life, you have to see what happens out there. Sometime. Okay, so you're embarrassed, put a hat on. Go. We're proper family. No, we're Christians. We're doctors. And sometimes doctors, they can be in blood all the way to their elbows. Sometimes doctors, they need to do such things that nobody else wants to do. We are the Church of Christ. We're born. I mean, we've been born through Him. If you want to be saved, you're saved. You want to be the bride? Then listen to me carefully. You want to be the church? It's a serious request. Nehemiah started to rebuild the walls only after he saw and heard the reality. You understand? Let's just read it. Nehemiah chapter 1, 2. If I could find it. Nehemiah 1, 2. Then Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came. Listen to me carefully. From Judah came. They came from where they needed help. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and so had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reapproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Now it came about when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Do you understand that? When he heard about the reality, his whole life transformed. You want to become a strong Christian? Just go and see who you need to help. And you don't even need to look like them. You don't need to drink and smoke so to infiltrate them. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how far we're from the original that this even sounds strange. How we stepped away so far who Christ was. Just by, when I say these words, they sound strange because nobody preaches them. Nobody is sending their flock into the bar or into a dance club. What if I will not handle it? Okay, then just stay there. When you'll have enough of drinking and smoking and whatnot, when you get sick of it, come and repent and then we'll go do it together. You understand me? What if I will not make it? You'll make it. Have you tried it? No? You know, one time, maybe 2001, I took one of my friends on Friday night. We went into downtown Tacoma into a bar. There was a huge dance party going on. The building was packed, a couple of floors, and they were all packed with people. They were just standing like that, trying to dance. There was tables. Do you know, when I saw these tables, and I already found five people that I could have came up to, and they would have listened to me 100%. Some of them were just sitting there crying. I was, I'm sure somebody was thinking about suicide. It was written all over the face. There's people that are waiting in this bar for somebody, and there's nobody. There's somebody who's drinking his last shot of vodka, and he's going and committing suicide. But if there was you there, moved by the Holy Spirit, he would have told you, come up to him, give him a hug, and tell him, Jesus loves you. He wouldn't have resisted you. And the two of you together would have cried, and the soul would have been saved. You don't need to drag him into church. God will bring him here. You need to bring him to God. This is our mission. Reality. And you would have been happy at least for a month, just by saving one soul. Church, who are we? Who are we? I didn't come up to these people because it was my observation. I was told just to go there and look at it. When I saw this picture, yeah, when I left this bar, I smelled like smoke so bad. I couldn't even wash that smell out of my clothes. So, you could put it in plastic bags and only open it when you go to the bar. It's scary for one person? Just take your home group and go. Amen? Watch everyone go. You're so holy. The question is for everyone. Listeners, those that are watching, have you looked at the walls of your city? Let's read the second chapter of Nehemiah. Verse 2:1. And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? From reality, amen? It was saddened because of reality. If we would have seen the reality, we would have been in intercessive prayers. you don't even know what a problem is. You want to see a problem? Go and look where there's real problems. Go into casinos where there's a person there just lost his last paycheck. He lost his house. He lost everything. And you see in his eyes everything. That's it. He goes and gets drunk. And you know that a lot of people, when they leave casinos, that is their last visit. Go into casinos. I was just there for a year ago. I took one guy with me and we, for my team, and we went into a casino. How is that? Pastor goes into casinos? Amen. Again, we smelled so bad. Even people in hell don't smell that bad. I left. I felt like I smoked for a year. It's okay. Buy a filter. So we went through everyone. We saw the faces of these people. But I saw those that didn't have anything else to put in the machine. And those people, you can come up to them. It's called evangelizing without leaving the register. What do we need to do? Take your home group and go. Emerald Queen Casino. There's a nice buffet there. You'll eat over there too. What do you think? I'm kidding? Next Wednesday, take your home group and go into casino. Don't worry. If somebody's going to tell me that they sign in casino, I'll understand you. Church, do you understand me? How? What kind of voltage do I need to shock you with to take you back into reality? What are you talking about? I need to put matches in your eyes. I believe that we'll birth something sometime. We'll give birth to a church that does not fear the world, that is going as a conqueror into the world. Casino, no problem. I give you a guarantee. If you go into casino this Wednesday, you'll bring somebody to Jesus Christ. I guarantee it. You'll take somebody out of hell. You'll pray for someone. You'll see people that everything is, that's it. You'll see Russian, plenty of Russian people, believe me. You know why? Because only the Russians know me. And when I was passing them by, they would look at me. What is he doing here? Came to play. Church. We're playing church, my dear ones. Do you even understand me just a little bit? A little bit? You understand where the church has to be at? Regularly, just do it once a month, visit casinos. There's plenty of casinos. There's thousands of people there. At first, it'll be scary for you. Then you'll get used to it. Amen. You don't need to order beer. You don't need to order chips and play blackjack. You don't need to play slot machines and other nonsense. You need to do... You have a mission, is salvation of this world. How is it done? Step by step. The world is waiting for you. Americans, let the Americans save Americans. No. Why did you come here? To be on welfare? No. We have to even get to Americans. Even with our broken English, you can say, Jesus loves you. We're in this country to help certain ones that need help. Watch out, even get our own Russian ones out. Okay, amen. Let's read on. Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's, tombs, nothing but when lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? Then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, sent me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. There's Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, and he may give me timbers to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall. Imagine this. If the king is sending me, then I could just get everything. Letters, gold, lumber, and whatnot, even servants. A person has a goal. I am dreaming about revival. And your revival starts next Wednesday in casino. Okay, you don't want casino, go to a dance club, not a problem. Listen. What are you saying? I'm saying what Jesus done it. A wall of the city and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. Then they came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king has sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. And when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. So Tobiah was sitting there, and some other guys. We don't even know them. You know, when we found out about them, when Christians started moving. You know that a lot of people, I didn't know about them. And all of a sudden, I found out about them. Apparently, his whole mission is in me. As soon as I start moving, there's parasites that gather around me. They want to stop me and make up new gossips. I guarantee this new gossip is going to start from this sermon. They're going to say, that's it. They're totally stepped away from God. Their services are in casinos now, and they're all going to hell. We told you that he's crazy. Okay, of course, my sermon is not for the fuzzy ones. Let's read on. So many interesting to say, and the time is going. And when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, and Ammonite officials heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Somebody's want to try to take you off the TV. Somebody wants to attack you. Start gossiping. Why? Because these people don't serve God. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night. Get up in the night, in the night. Listen carefully. I rose in the night. I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting in my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and to the refuse gate. He went to the refuse gate. I don't know, maybe they were built out of refuse. Inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. My dear ones, at night, he didn't say anything, just go and check it out. Is it not strange? You want to find out the damage? You want to know the problem? Go in the night and see where you are needed, where the church is needed, what it needs to do. We'll go to another week-long fast for us to feel good. As soon as you leave fast, okay, I'm hitting some hardships again. You know why? Because the casino is crying for you. As soon as you come there, you're going to say, you can even breathe this air. There's people. At first, everything will be strange. You're going to sit and drink coffee and speak nervously. What if somebody's going to see us? And then it'll be, whatever, let them look. Listen. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, and there was no place for my mount to pass, so I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I have done, nor had I had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in. Some people tell me, what are you mixing all this for? It's not that bad. Of course, in your world, it's all great and fuzzy. Just tease your hair once in a while. Of course, you came from an occasional conference and you forgot what it is, the smell of cigarettes. What is it to talk to a person that smells who knows what from his mouth a mile away? Of course, it's discomforting for you right now because you understand who you have to be and who you're not. That is why I want to irritate everyone, all of you, and all of you that are listening to me, for people to act. I'm serious. If I could do it, I'd do it all myself and tease your hair on time and, you know, take care of things over there. Church.
Hello.
You know why we get bored? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. You know why nothing happens? Why we're always looking for new things? What should we do for Holy Spirit to come? And we have full formulas, books, how the Holy Spirit has to infiltrate the church. Just bring at least one drug addict into church and the Holy Spirit arrives with him automatically. And right away there are signs and wonders because he needs deliverance from drugs, he needs restoration of his family, he needs work. There's signs and wonders, even testimonies there. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we're in. The Jerusalem is desolate and the gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that we may not longer be a reproach. And I told them how the hand of God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he has spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat and the Haranite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Oh, my dear ones, the wall would never be built if there was nobody there that would have seen the reality. We would just go and just feel all the problems, see where the walls have been broken, where it has been burned out, where there's help needed, prayers and fasting, where the movement is needed. Oh, my dear ones. I give you this challenge. This is my church, those that are around me. Just relook the walls of your city. The walls of the city that you're in. Just go. Just see. I'm serious. You need to know where to go. Come to me. I'll help you. You don't even need to think very long. You'll go on the freeway. You'll see on the right and left. You'll see casinos, dance clubs. I know you never pay attention. I know we were brought up this way. We have been divided from this world. It doesn't say we're divided from the world on the inside. We're divided from this dirt. We're saved by God. And right now, someone needs to help those that need help. How is the revival going to come? That's how it's going to come. When someone comes and gives a helping hand, when somebody gets bravery and just do their home group at least one time in some sort of casino or dance club, you'll see burned walls and you'll know what to pray about. You'll know what to fast about. Jesus looked at the walls of his city. He lived next to the walls. He even picked his team from the walls. Why was he a friend of sinners and tax collectors? Because only these people knew the reality. Why my team constantly called sort of troublemakers? Because for one reason, because most of them are tax collectors and sinners.
Why? I like to spend time with them because we understand each other. We understand where we come from. We understand that there's a whole mass of people that we used to be like that. We need to get to. It's hard to preach this sermon to a fourth generation Christian because it's a shock. What are you talking about? Only a doctor that is doctor that has made the right diagnosis can help a patient. My dear ones, the moral of this sermon is like this, that before you start praying and fasting, go and look at the walls of your city. Go and see where there's dying people. I don't want to read the statistics, but you can read the statistics. Maybe you'll get scared. But these bars, these dance clubs and casinos, they'll bring you into a condition of that person that you have to be. Jesus lived there. He moved there, and that was his ministry. And sometimes there are people from above would come up to him at nighttime and ask him, Jesus, we understand that something is happening. Jesus, all his life, was living in reality. And when he was preaching, the elites could not understand him because he was preaching from the platform of the world. He wasn't preaching from a fuzzy platform of the church and to the world. You're all going to hell. Just take this. Just shove you all into hell. Jesus came down into the world from position of the world. The interesting thing is there was world around him constantly, and he'd always talk to those that needed to be there and they weren't. I understand this is a calm sermon and it'll make you think. Please, my dear ones, don't go to warfare and try to do something in your life until you will relook the walls of your city, and then you'll have a mission. Amen. Have you received something for yourself? Let's get up. Father, I thank you and I ask you to raise up your church, to raise up your children, to raise up those that will not fear to go into the world and save people from hell. Raise up those that have nothing to lose and they don't even care how they're going to be called. I ask you to raise up a team that will do this.